Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. You can easily spot a counterfeit when you have someone that wants to talk about grace, 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 and agape love, but yet they seek to evade and ignore biblical truths such as the attributes of God concerning His holiness, that God is holy, holy, holy. He whom the true body of Christ worships is holy, 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 as we see the angels declaring before a magnificent Almighty God in eternal habitations in heaven there in Revelation chapter 4. Actually, it's the beast around God's throne. There's different speculation on who they are, but we know they're created beings of God, and they are crying day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come," Revelation 4:8. We also see this same trifecta or triplicate declaration of the holiness of God in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, where Isaiah, a man who freshly discovers how very undone he is, said or spoke of the seraphims. Actually, this could be the definition of the beast, the further revelation of it. And they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Isaiah says, chapter 6, verse 5, "Isaiah, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Nothing's changed. We all have the individual, personal responsibility to own the fact that there's no good thing that dwells in us. That's exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, and then in verse 24, he said, "O wretched man that I am," not that I was, although he was, he also still is. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said he had to keep under his body. See, there's an old man in us that has to be put off every day. Some teach that you no longer have a sinful inclination and inherent sin nature, which is absolute heresy. Why would God tell us to put off the old man, and that comes by way of the crucified life, the cross, and put on the new man, if there was nothing to put off and nothing to put on? So this is what we see here. Isaiah 6:5, "Then said I," as he, "woe is me," as he was overcome by the presence of the holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God Almighty, "for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Verse 7, "and he laid it upon my mouth," that is what? The tongs from off the altar. Verse 6, "then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged." Isaiah the prophet, the servant of the Lord, went on to say, "Lord, here am I, send me." Now, would it be possible that today the Lord, as you seek Him, is going to do a new work in you and cause you to discover just how wicked you are outside of Him? And Jesus Himself said, "Without me, ye can do nothing. And might the Lord be taking a coal off his altar by way of an angel, if you will, and touching your lips with it. The psalmist said, he prayed, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of mine heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want to talk about having no part dark. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 33, Jesus said, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it under a secret place, or putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. So picture a man who's having some people come over to his place, and back then they didn't have lights like we have. This would be the picture here so far, is that he's got a candle set up high so that people can see where they're walking when they come into his house at night. Again, they didn't have light switches and electricity like piped into their homes like we do. The candles were their light. For us, it would be come on in and all the lights would already be on, right? So the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Let's talk about this. So the word eye, it comes from a Greek word ophthalmos, which is where we get ophthalmology. Notice the eye, it implies the vision or the focus. If your eye is singly set on the Lord Jesus, at least in part, seems to be saying, then your whole body shall be full of light. Again, verse 34, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single or singly focused on him, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, it is not looking unto the Lord, thy body also is full of darkness. That means just what it says and says what it means. When we are seeking the Lord, his light is on. And notice, light always expels darkness. Darkness never overcomes the light. When you hit the light switch, all darkness is immediately vanquished. And as we seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually, which is what we read in 1 Chronicles 16:11, our bodies, our spirit, our heart, our mind, our bodies are going to be full of the light of Christ. But like Peter, if we take our eyes off the Lord, we're going to begin to sink. When Peter walked on the water, it was only when he looked away from Jesus at the things that were happening around him, the waves and the wind, that he began to sink. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, we're not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then we are going to be full of darkness, quote unquote. Verse 35, Luke 11, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. In other words, when there's a candle in a room, all darkness is eradicated. When you hit the light switch, all darkness is eradicated and vanquished and gone in the power of that light. Now we must ask, is my whole being filled full of the light of Christ? When we are looking with our eye, if you will, to he who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, John 12:35, his pure and holy light is flooding our whole being. Are you getting a picture and a plan and a vision for your life? God identifies and calls evil concupiscence a sin. It's defined as the secret desire for that which is forbidden. You see, the world calls it a fantasy, like as in a perverted fantasy. But the Lord calls it darkness and sin. Evil concupiscence, the secret desire for that which God calls sin, that which is forbidden. And if we have any such evil concupiscence in us, we are not coming to the light, and the darkness of this evil is not being vanquished out of our lives. Proverbs 20 verse 27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Recently, I received a message from a brother in Christ who has been linked together with myself in the ministry for a while now. We've been praying for him and talking to him and feeding the word. Now, this is a guy that's coming to the light who desires no part dark in his life. Now, this is going to be the definition of the true remnant body of Christ. You know, the five wise virgins of Jesus' parable of the 10 virgins, the difference is going to be that those that are wise virgins, those that are choosing to love with all their heart and mind and soul and body, the great bridegroom of heaven, they're coming to the light and not allowing any part dark. They have no part dark, and they seek that. And this is a brother that's a great example of that. He's been fighting the good fight of faith. And we all know what it is to struggle in sin. The Bible says that we are striving against sin, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. And the only way to overcome it is to be dead, to come to the light, to be crucified with Christ. That's the light, the revelation of God. Jesus said, to follow him, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. The Apostle Paul said, he that is dead is freed from sin. So how do you get free from sin? You got to die. You can't just claim promises. You've got to obey the Lord. It's one thing to know and even preach the concept of the cross, but it's another thing to apply the cross every day, to get up every day and call out to God like John the Baptist, that Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Into your hands I commend, I submit my spirit, Lord. Like Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, at this juncture, I want to encourage you to examine what preachers you're listening to. There are very few that are preaching from the King James Bible. Out of an honest heart, declaring like Paul, we preach not ourselves but Christ, and very few that are preaching the cross Jesus and his apostles preach. The apostle Peter tells us also in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, he tells us this about overcoming sin, coming to the light, getting delivered from the darkness, having no part dark. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Notice, who has ceased from sin? Only those that are suffering the death of self are going to experience the resurrection life of Christ, raising them up out of sin, out of darkness. You can't separate coming to the light of Christ from the life of the cross having its full effect in my daily life as I wake up seeking a demotion, not a promotion, declaring with Paul the Apostle, Colossians 3:3, "Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's the only way that we can cease from sin. If you're not looking to Jesus and following what he said and following him, he said, "You cannot follow me unless you're willing to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me," Luke 9, 23 and 24, then you're going to remain in darkness, my beloved friend. You're going to remain in sin. And anybody that's not preaching this cross to you is preaching another Jesus. They're under the influence and control of another spirit, and they're preaching another gospel. And quite frankly, the Apostle Paul said that they are accursed, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. The only way that you can cease from sin is that you got to follow the Master and be crucified with Christ and raised up. When you're crucified with Christ, he's going to raise you up. Now, what does that mean? That means surrender, daily surrender on his stated terms. Like, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." Amen. Luke 22:42. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:9 says that he sentenced himself to death. Let me ask you something, beloved. Have you sentenced yourself to death? Are you fed up with sin and the misery it brings and the death brings, the guilt, the shame, the darkness? The good news is that God wants to raise you up out of it. He didn't just find you and save you by the blood of His Son just to wash away your sins initially. His plan is to have you walking free from all sin, walking in a momentous glory and strength and resurrection grace, raising you up with forward momentum, not just struggling with sin all the time, but learning to live the crucified life. So you're walking in the raised up power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's God's plan for your life, not just to have you overcome sin, but to preemptively escape it by living the cross life and not always having to come into and be into crisis management mode. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And that's the only way that you're going to overcome all sin and cease from sin and live outside of the flesh and the lust that is the sinful, iniquitous nature that we all inherited from Adam, Romans 5, is to be crucified with Christ. You're a new creature in Christ, beloved saints. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Now all things are of God. And when all things are of God, you're a man who is being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because as Paul beckoned to us, he said, I beseech you, holy brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way you're going to do that is in verse 1 of Romans 12, and that is present your body a living sacrifice to be crucified with Christ. Have you noticed that the flesh can't be cast out like a devil? That sure would be nice, right? A one-time deal where you just cast out the flesh and it's over. No, not at all. You must submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's on a daily basis. Jesus said the cross is a daily experience that we walk in. We deny ourselves. We take up our cross and follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, notice, keep under. It's a present and ongoing necessity. I keep under my body, lest by any means I myself should be a castaway or ultimately cast away from God in the end, having fallen into sin, having departed from the Lord, departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's what we touched on earlier. So many people are fashioning a false Christ, a false God in their own sinful image. What they're doing, as we touched on earlier, is they're only focusing purposely on the agape love of God and the grace of God, things like that. But you never hear them talk about the crucified life, the holiness of God, the judgment of God coming on all who die in sin, whether you were saved or not in the past, the justice of God. They want to just eradicate. They act like they're actually God and they can tell him what he's going to be to them. That's the five foolish virgins that are sure for hell, as they were already there. They are going right off the cliff. They're going to be shut out of the kingdom of Christ because they are unrepentant, full of pride, and wise in their own conceit. This is arrogancy, which Proverbs chapter 6 tells us that God hates. It's an abomination to him. These are not humble, like little children looking to their parent with innocence beaming from their eyes, saying, Lord, here I am, send me, like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6, being humbled at how wicked he is and how holy, holy, holy the Lord is. That's the difference. Those that love the Lord truly with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength seek to have no part dark in themselves, but to have the light of Christ beaming in them as they raise their hearts and hands to him every day, poring over his word diligently, crying out to him in prayer to break them to the core of their being and to have his way, Christ's way, in them. And that would be being full of light, having no part dark. I mentioned the sin of, quote, evil concupiscence, that's Colossians 3:5, which is one of the sins of the old man, which he's telling us there in Colossians 3 to put off, and it means the secret desire for that which is forbidden. Think about that. God sees into the dark recesses of our hearts. Do we still have some what the world calls fantasy that's still not crucified with Christ? Is it not the day today of salvation to cry out to the Lord to eradicate this evil, sinful thing that we have harbored? Psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Could God be prompting you to unearth, to cry out to Him, to eradicate something evil in you as you choose today to turn to the Lord who is the light of the world and walk in the light as He is in the light so that you can have fellowship one with another, that is with the Father and the Son, 1 John chapter 1 verse 3 and verse 7, crying out to Him to shine the light of His truth and presence into the dark recesses of your heart so that you would have no part dark. Let us walk in His holy light, beloved saints, that we might have fellowship with Him, having no part dark, attempting to hide nothing from He who is the light of the world and who sees all. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We can't hide anything from God. Those who are God's, wicked as we may be in and of ourselves, will be manifested by ever coming to the light to admit and make restitution for every dark thought and deed, leaving no stone unturned. Jesus's bride are those who are choosing to have no part dark. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, he that covereth his sins or tries to hide the darkness shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If we're going to have the mercy of God, if we're going to receive and appropriate the mercy of God, we're going to have to confess and forsake, get away from, seek hearkening to anything dark, anything God calls sin. Jesus said in John 3:19 through 21, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and yet men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed and brought to the light and extinguished. See, so many people are hiding in darkness. Even so many preachers who once had a heart after God have descended into darkness because they do not love the truth of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 9. And this is the work of the prince of darkness, Satan. And he has deceived them and misled them to doctrines of devils, a seducing spirit himself, 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. And what they've done is given up on overcoming sin and just made an image of a false god they've erected in their wicked hearts that they've allowed darkness to remain in. And therefore, they only want to view the grace and the love of God and want to ignore that God is a God of judgment who said, you're going to be cut off. He's talking to Gentile saved Christian people. If you don't behold, that is, honor and embrace the goodness and severity of God, you're going to be cut off. And that's what they've done. They want to look at the goodness of God. They want to stay in self-deception and ignore that God is holy, holy, holy. And throughout history, all the way beginning with Lucifer and the third of the angels, God has severed any unholy creature from His presence because He is holy, holy, holy. The last time sin was found in heaven, it was immediately, violently vanquished from heaven, Ezekiel 28, Luke 10, 18. And so these people are so deceived in their darkness that they somehow believe Jesus is going to accept them into heaven, even though they're living in open rebellion to Him. And you see, that's why they only want to look at the goodness of God, but they want to ignore the severity of God. Romans 11, 20 through 22, I highly recommend you get familiar with that passage. Romans 11, 20 through 22, where Paul says, behold, therefore, the goodness, not just the goodness, but and the severity of God. on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Cut off means severed from the presence of God, and ultimately that will be irrevocably in the lake of fire. Let me remind you that hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. As if hell wasn't bad enough, it's going to be thrown, hurled into the ocean of fire. It doesn't matter if you ignore it. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It's still going to happen. Your feelings don't matter. That's why you need to be crucified with Christ. And anyone who is making a God in their own image, focusing only on the parts of God he believes justify him living in sin against God, purposely, intentionally ignoring that God is holy, holy, holy. God is the judge of all the earth. Judgment has already begun at the house of God. And he declared that I will judge my people all the way through his word. Which judgment are you going to be at, my friend? At the great white throne or at the Bema seat? In Romans 14, Revelation 20, the great white throne. All the books are going to be open, and anyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life is going to be cast irrevocably into the lake of fire. This is why Jesus taught, and moral cowards want to ignore this. They want to ignore his severity. Dispensationalist devils go so far as to say Jesus just wrote things for us. We're not accountable to them, but only Paul has written that which is the true gospel for the New Testament, and we're accountable to that. They say Paul wrote the gospel to them. In other words, they're only really accountable for his gospel. This is delusional. Look up the word dispensation or dispensationalism on the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com. You're going to be blown away by these wicked heretics who think that they can be saved by Jesus while ignoring what Jesus said. They're moral cowards. They only want to, it's by faith alone. Well, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The first word out of John the Baptist in Jesus' mouths when they came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God is what? Not believe, but repent. Jesus made it an imperative. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That means if nobody repented, that's why he used the word except. If nobody repented, everybody's going to hell. There is no respect of persons with God. God has not changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. So these people are living a fairy tale, believing in vain that they can escape the judgment of God because they ignore the King of heaven, the great bridegroom of heaven, who is holy, 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 and who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was and who is and is to come, the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Beware of these dispensational frauds, beloved. Let me remind you that it was actually the Apostle Paul who was writing those divinely inspired words that we just went through in Romans chapter 11, where he said, in verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Not just the goodness, but the severity of God. On who? Now, he's talking to Christians. On them which fell, the Jews. He's given us that example of the Old Testament Jews. Severity, judgment came upon them. I believe it's Numbers chapter 16. Thousands of them were swallowed up into the earth. The earth opened up and they went straight into hell for their rebellion. And we're over and over repeatedly warned in the New Testament concerning that which happened to many of the rebellious, apostate, covenant, Jewish people who rebelled against God after being in relationship with him. So he tells us to behold everything about God, the goodness and severity of God, the holiness of God, the judgment of God that's coming upon all the wicked, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. Romans 6:23. When Adam and Eve, who were created in perfection, no sin, by God, sinned against him, they were ushered immediately out of his holy presence. God's not going to change his plan and who he is in his immutable divine nature because he saved high and mighty you. The problem is that people are serving the God of self, from which they refuse to repent of, go on a fast until self is so dead he is eradicated from the throne of their heart, and Jesus alone reigns. That's how you serve God on his terms. Shut up, repent, and get on your face before a holy God and be crucified with Christ, putting away everything that does not glorify him, going on the fast, and spending special time seeking his holy face, beholding both the goodness and severity of God. You are not eternally secure. You're not safe yet. You're a king's kid if you're saved and presently abiding, John 15. If you don't abide or remain in him, you're going to be cast into the fire. That's what Jesus said. Argue with him if you wish. I won't be a part of your stupidity. John 15:6. Repent. Shut up, repent, and worship God who is holy, 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 lest you be cut off like the Jews were, and you're going to fall away, depart from the faith, if you give heed to these seducing spirits that are purposely evading the holiness, the judgment of God, and the justice of God that's coming on every person who dies in sin. You must continue in his goodness and his severity, respecting and embracing all that he is and all his divine attributes revealed in his word. That's what God requires from us. It is our reasonable sacrifice. Let's go ahead and close this message. I want you to imagine with me, beloved saints, a woman that is engaged to a man she is set to marry. Perhaps they even have their marriage, their wedding date set, and yet this lady, this bride-to-be, reserves darkness in her heart, things that are hidden from her bridegroom, things like she is still whorishly consorting with other men or another man. She's committing spiritual adultery. She's not singly focused on this bridegroom that she's actually engaged to. And what's going to happen when he finds this out, when he begins to realize this woman is not singly focused on me as a man? There are other men. There is spiritual adultery. There is diversion. There is a double-mindedness in her. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to sever that relationship. Paul cried out in godly jealousy, saying that he had espoused the believers. That means they were engaged to one bridegroom. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And that's the Lord Almighty, the great bridegroom of heaven, who's coming back soon for his wise virgin believers, which every one of us who has been born again has the opportunity to be. What are you, my friend, choosing to be today? A wise virgin believer or a foolish virgin believer who will be having the door into eternal glory shut in your face irrevocably forever? And yet the wise virgins are going to hear from the great bridegroom, "Well done, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Let's pray together, my friends. Heavenly Father, we know you're holy. We ask you to probe the depths of our being right now, O God, and from here forward, eradicate all darkness, Father. Bless us to have no part dark. We can't hide anything from you anyway, Lord. Please break us, Lord Jesus, and be truly the Lord, the master of our lives. Reign on the throne of our hearts, dear Lord. We are crucified with Christ. We are dead, and our lives are hid with Christ in God. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. Please fill us with your Holy Ghost and use us to edify and love your body, your people, O Lord, as we look for your soon return, Lord Jesus. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.